Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 30th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
local officials issue fresh restrictions as coronavirus infections surge.
Intensive care patients climb in Miami, Houston, and Los Angeles.
Arizona and California close bars as hospitalizations rise.
With more than 500,000 dead, the WHO warns the worst is yet to come.
New Jersey hits pause on dining in for Phase 3. New York is considering whether to dial back some reopening plans. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Two prominent members of the Nets have tested positive for the virus. The Mets and Yankees get ready to resume workouts tomorrow.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Crises and challenges highlight the power of partnership and character. Work for the common good. One community, SEI. Go to seic.com/banks.
And U.S. futures are falling as coronavirus cases climb. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 14 points. Dow futures down 158. NASDAQ futures down 13. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. CAC in Paris down 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.9%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.3%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.62%. The yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.25% or 49 cents at $39.20 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%. Nathan.
Karen, local governments across the country are issuing fresh restrictions as coronavirus infections climb. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. In Florida, Miami-Dade County is seeing intensive care patients reach the highest level in nearly 2 months. We spoke about the surge with Miami Beach Mayor Dan Gelber.
Right now, the biggest concern we have is getting people to simply do what every health expert tells them they should do, which is to wear a mask when you're near somebody, wear a mask to protect your parents, wear a mask to protect yourself, and they're not complying.
In Texas, data show ICU beds in the Houston area now at 95% capacity. Dr. Mark Boom is president of Houston Methodist Hospital.
Unless we have people across Houston wearing their mask and social distancing and all the other things they need to do, frankly, staying home at this point, unless you need to be out of the home, we're worried that we're seeing very rapid acceleration of the spread right now based on the testing data that we see.
In Arizona, officials are telling hospitals to prepare for a surge of patients. The state is also rolling back reopening plans, closing bars, gyms, and movie theaters for 30 days. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. California is also reclosing some businesses to stem the spread of the virus. And here with details is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Governor Gavin Newsom says six counties are going to have to close down their bars because owners and patrons have not been following health care guidelines.
Because what we don't want to see happen is a few bad apples that are flouting and exploiting the situation and making the rest of the industry, making some of their competitors look bad.
Meanwhile, Los Angeles has counted its highest daily totals of new cases and hospitalizations, almost doubling since May. The health director says immediate action is needed, or LA is quickly moving toward overwhelming the health care system. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Even without fresh outbreaks, New York and New Jersey are looking to push pause on their reopenings. New Jersey's halting plans to restart indoor dining this week. New York City's considering a similar measure. We spoke with Crafted Hospitality founder and Top Chef host Tom Colicchio.
Having 10 tables on the street is just not going to cut it. You know, in fact, I don't see a reason to open a restaurant right now, to rush to open up, only to lose money. But we're doing it because, you know, our people want to get to work. If you have PPP, it actually makes a little bit of sense. So your payroll's covered and your rent's covered. And so all you really have are cost of goods. So that helps a little bit. But that money's going to run out soon if it hasn't already run out.
New Jersey had been set to start indoor dining Thursday. No new date for that effort has been set. New York City plans called for indoor dining to start Monday. An official delay could be announced this week.
Today marks 6 months since the World Health Organization became aware of the coronavirus, and after 500,000 deaths worldwide, the head of the WHO says the worst is yet to come.
The critical question that all countries will face in the coming months is how to live with this virus. That is the new normal.
The WHO says a lack of global solidarity is exacerbating the spread of COVID-19. Right now, half of fatalities are coming from North and South America.
Meantime, in Washington, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin weigh in on the economic toll from the pandemic when they deliver remarks to the House Financial Services Committee today. Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee reports.
The Fed chairman will stress the importance of keeping the coronavirus contained as the U.S. economy comes back. The rebound came perhaps sooner than expected, Powell says in his prepared remarks, released last night by the Fed. While this bounce back in economic activity is welcome, it also presents new challenges, notably the need to keep the virus in check, he says. Powell and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin will face questions from members of Congress on the disposition of the $2.7 trillion they've already appropriated. Has it saved jobs? How much has been lost to the Washington boogeyman of waste, fraud, and abuse? Both are expected to argue the urgency of getting money out the door outweighs errors made. And both are expected to tell Congress much more needs to be done to keep the economy growing. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Also in Washington, tensions between the U.S. and China are front and center after the U.S. revoked part of Hong Kong's special status. The move makes it harder for the U.S. to export sensitive technology to Hong Kong. Begin more from Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli.
I'm told by top Republicans in the House of Representatives that this is just one of the many tools over the course of the next few months that the United States will issue with bipartisan support, with the next round of legislative measures really coming into effect in October.
And the move to revoke Hong Kong's special status comes as Beijing approves a new national security law governing the city. The measure allows authorities to punish acts of secession, subversion, terrorism, and collusion with foreign forces. Futures this morning are lower, down about 14 points. Dow futures down 168, and NASDAQ futures down about 16. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Now let's get more details on how the coronavirus surge down south could affect the tri-state area. Here's Bloomberg's Amy Morris. Good morning, Amy.
All right, Nathan, good morning and thank you. We've been telling you that there is a chance New York City might be hitting pause on its reopening plans. Well, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state will be deciding tomorrow whether New York City will have indoor dining in restaurants in Phase 3, which is set to begin on Monday.
Our reopenings have worked very well. We're not going backwards.
Governor Cuomo calling on President Trump to issue an executive order requiring mask wearing in public, as many governors have already done, saying the president should set the example by wearing a mask himself. Indoor dining in New Jersey is being postponed. It was supposed to be allowed under Phase 3 reopening plans. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says they're learning from other states' experiences.
We have seen spikes in other states driven in part by the return of patrons to indoor dining establishments where they are seated and without face coverings for significant periods.
Indoor dining was set to resume on Thursday, but there's no new date set for now. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says even though restaurants might not be allowed to offer dine-in options, you can still cook out on the 4th of July holiday.
We're going to be able to open up the barbecue areas in our parks for this coming weekend, for the July 4th weekend.
He adds that as the city works on the budget under unusual circumstances, they have gotten no help from the federal government.
We asked repeatedly for the federal government to help us with the stimulus. It hasn't come.
And he says police reform, a billion-dollar redistribution of funds, is included in the coming budget. Also, Broadway is officially dark until 2021. The Broadway League says all live New York City performances are on hold until January 3rd. And we're getting word this morning President Trump did get a written briefing in February on possible Russian bounties on U.S. soldiers. President Trump has said he was never briefed because he says that intel was not credible. Officials with direct knowledge of that intelligence say they were aware in early 2019. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashire.
All right, good morning, Nathan. Major League Baseball workouts resume tomorrow, almost all, including the Mets and Yankees in their empty home stadium. First time teams will officially work out together since March 11th, opening day July 23rd. Schedule not yet released, but it was reported the other day the Yankees will open up in Washington. Schedule for the finish to the NBA regular season is out. The Nets on July 31st will play Orlando. There'll be 5, 6, or even 7 games a day through August 14th before the playoffs begin. But now that the leagues are getting ready to return to work, the story, athletes choosing not to. Ryan Zimmerman, 35-year-old, longtime Washington National, insists he's not retiring, but there were 3 kids, including a newborn. He's taking a pass on this shortened season. Same with Arizona pitcher Mike Leake and Colorado's Ian Desmond. Mets general manager Brody Van Wagenen says his team is intact.
You know, at this point, we stay in communication with our players. We want to support them and make sure they feel safe and that they're in an environment where they can be healthy through the course of the year. At this point, we've heard that all of our players are making travel arrangements and hope to make it here in time this week and anticipate everybody reporting to camp.
Van Wagenen says he's only aware of one Met who's had a positive test. 2 Brooklyn Nets, Spencer Dinwiddie and DeAndre Jordan, have both tested positive, and Jordan says he's not going to finish the season in Orlando. Dinwiddie unsure if he can after a 2-week quarantine. With Kevin Durant having not played this season, Kyrie Irving often injured, Dinwiddie has been easily the Nets' best player, averaging 21 points a game. J.R. Smith will play for the Lakers. The ex-Nick is close with LeBron James. They were together on that championship team in Cleveland. Lakers needed a replacement for Avery Bradley, who chose not to play. John Stashdower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, the organizer of the Tour de France will hold a virtual version of the event starting this week. Instead of riders coursing through the French countryside, 40 teams will race each from home trainer setups, wherever in the world they happen to be. Unlike the 3-week 21-stage event, this one will feature 6 stages of approximately 1 hour each over 3 weekends beginning July 4th. That's the Saturday, and it's going to be broadcast in more than 130 countries. It'll raise money for 5 global charity partners. Heading into this final trading day of the first half of 2020, S&P futures are down 13 points. Dow futures down 153. NASDAQ futures lower by 10 points. And wherever you happen to be working today, you can listen to Bloomberg Radio on the Bloomberg Business app, radio.com, iHeart, SiriusXM, and TuneIn, as well as Bloomberg.com. And on the Bloomberg terminal, just type RADI. Go.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European shares are dropping after a resurgence in virus infections slowed down the pace of business reopenings. The dollar index climbing to a one-month high while treasuries are steady. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 12 points. Dow futures down 135. NASDAQ futures are down 7.5. The DAX in Germany is little changed now. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 0.63%. Yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.2% on 47 cents at $39.23 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 80 cents at $17.82 an ounce. The euro 1.1211 against the dollar. British pound 1.2265. And the yen at 107.72. Prices in the euro area seeing a slightly stronger than expected pickup in June when economies across the bloc allowed more businesses to reopen. Inflation in the 19-nation currency region came in at 0.3% higher than economists' median estimate. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Local governments across the country issuing those fresh restrictions as coronavirus infections climb. Bloomberg's John Tucker joining us live now with the very latest. John.
And Amy, the number of intensive care patients in Florida's Miami-Dade County is at its highest level in 2 months. Houston area intensive care unit wards are 95% full. Los Angeles County counted its highest daily totals of new cases and hospitalizations. And Arizona is rolling back reopening plans, closing bars, gyms, and movie theaters for 30 days. Governor Phil Murphy is pausing New Jersey's plans to restart indoor dining on Thursday. New York also considering postponement. The World Health Organization first became the novel coronavirus 6 months ago, and now with more than 500,000 dead, it says the worst is yet to come. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. And the White House says there was no consensus within the intelligence community over those allegations that Russia offered bounties to the Taliban to kill U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. 8 Republican lawmakers were briefed yesterday. 8 Democrats will be briefed today. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. It's coming up to 5:20 now on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's bring in Andrew Sheets now, Chief Cross Asset Strategist at Morgan Stanley, as we get ready to close out the first half of this extraordinary year. Andrew, good morning. When you hear about states beginning to dial back some of the reopening and the World Health Organization bluntly putting it that the worst is yet to come with the coronavirus, how does that affect your view as we head into the second half?
Well, I think it's important to keep a couple of things in mind, that as you mentioned, this disease, its challenges aren't going away, that it's going to continue to weigh on growth and be a major risk for markets. But also I think that the types of shutdowns that we saw in March and April are not what we'd expect the economies to go back to. And I think there are a couple of reasons for that. I think various different state and local governments have gotten more comfortable and more knowledgeable about the virus and what can be done. But I think you also see that if you look globally, this is a virus that can be combated. You see that in the far greater successes in Europe, in Asia, to controlling the virus than certainly you've had in the U.S. And even within U.S. states, you have some states that have done a quite effective job in controlling the virus versus others. So I don't think it's something we should give up hope for. I think it's that there are measures that can be more effective in mitigating it, and I think markets in that way won't retest prior weakness, but we do need to keep these risks in mind.
How do you take the comments that were released last night that are going to be delivered later today by Fed Chairman Powell, that the economy is entering this new phase more quickly than expected and that containing the virus is really going to be key when it comes to charting out future growth for this economy?
Yeah, I think Powell is exactly right, and I think there's also a lot in the context of those comments that the Fed, we think, is going to remain incredibly accommodative, that the Fed is going to err on the side of caution, that the Fed is going to do whatever it can to support the economy, and I think it's shown that with both its monetary policy, its quantitative easing, and also what it's been doing with corporate bond purchases and continuing to provide even more support, even as markets have rallied off of the lows there. I think it also is a sign that in some ways, if there's a silver lining of this greater awareness that coronavirus remains a major problem in the U.S., maybe it can spark more action on the economy to support the economy. So that obviously is the Fed remaining vigilant, but I think that would also be further economic stimulus out of the U.S. Congress, which has so far failed to pass an additional stimulus measure. Maybe if there's a good thing, so to speak, that could come out of this second kind of resurgence of the virus, it would be that maybe Congress can take additional steps to provide more support to Americans who are currently being affected by it.
Do you think there could be more clarity for Congress to take those steps when we get the two key pieces of job data at the same time this week, the June report and the weekly claims?
Yeah, I do. And look, I think there maybe was a risk if you think back, you know, a month ago where almost the consensus swung very quickly to things will bounce back very, very quickly when we got that prior jobs number that was so much better than expected. And maybe that did take some of the pressure off of Congress to act. And you know, we think that pressure should be there, that the economy does remain weak. A lot of people are suffering. There is a lot of potential economic risk if this support is not extended, that could create longer lasting damage. And so if I think about Morgan Stanley's forecast for a V-shaped recovery in the U.S., it's very much predicated on the idea that we'll see further fiscal support, not just monetary support out of the Fed.
Thank you, as always, Andrew. Good talking with you this morning. Andrew Sheets is Chief Cross Asset Strategist at Morgan Stanley. S&P futures right now are lower, down almost 10 points. Dow futures are down 121. NASDAQ futures, a drop of 3 points as we get closer to the open on this final trading day of the first half. The Stock 600 in Europe is lower by a 10th percent. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield on a 10-year Treasury note, 63 basis points, and a 2-year Treasury yield is at 14 basis points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. At 5:25 on Wall Street, straight ahead, the World Health Organization is warning the worst is yet to come after 6 months of coronavirus. Plus, we'll get a fuller check of the markets, bring you all the latest business headlines on this Tuesday morning. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are falling as coronavirus cases climb. Local governments are issuing fresh restrictions to stem the spread. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Officials in Arizona are telling hospitals to prepare for a surge of patients. That has Governor Doug Ducey rolling back reopening plans.
Today's executive order will pause the operation of bars, gyms, movie theaters, water parks, and tubing.
Meantime, in Texas, data show ICU beds in the Houston area at 95% capacity. Sylvester Turner is that city's mayor.
The number of people who are being affected by this virus continues to exponentially grow.
Today marks 6 months since the World Health Organization became aware of the coronavirus, and the head of the group is issuing an ominous warning.
The hard reality is this is not even close to being over.
So far, 500,000 lives have been lost to the virus worldwide. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And later today in Washington, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin weigh in on the economic toll from the pandemic. In prepared remarks to the House Financial Services Committee, Powell warns of extraordinary uncertainty and stresses the importance of keeping the virus contained. You can tune in for that testimony at 12:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
Also in Washington, tensions between the U.S. and China are front and center after Beijing approved a landmark national security law targeting Hong Kong. And Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more.
The National People's Congress Standing Committee approved the law unanimously. That's according to multiple Hong Kong media. Xinhua expected to publish details later. Civil liberties, an independent judicial system, and free markets have been at the core in helping Hong Kong attract companies. Those values may now be in question. Hours before the law passed, the U.S. Commerce Department revoked part of Hong Kong's special status. The move makes it harder for the U.S. to export sensitive technology to Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. S&P futures are down 7 points. Dow futures down 98. NASDAQ futures are now little change. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 0.63%. The yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% on 57 cents at $39.12 a barrel. And COMEX gold little change at $17.82.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1205 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:33 on Wall Street. And as the coronavirus surges to the south, the New York City region is taking notice. Let's get the details on that now from Bloomberg's Amy Morris. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. That's right. New York City set to reopen restaurants for indoor dining on Monday, but that might not happen now. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says after bars reopened, people just seem to throw social distancing out the window.
New York City is currently in phase two. Phase three would begin on Monday. But there are issues that we have to think through. One is there's a lack of compliance with social distancing in New York City.
Now, Cuomo says the state will make the call by tomorrow. He says they also have to consider other states' infection rates on the rise.
New York is a hub. If other states have a high infection rate, probability is they're going to wind up increasing the spread and the infection in New York.
And Broadway will remain dark until next year, the Broadway League announcing all live New York City performances are on hold until January 3rd, 2021. Indoor dining in New Jersey was also supposed to begin this week, but now is officially postponed. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy.
Today we must hit pause on the resumption of indoor dining, which was also to resume this coming Thursday. Under our revised plan, indoor dining will now be reset to resume at a later date to be determined.
He says New Jersey is watching the rates rise in other states, and he just doesn't want to make the same mistake, so they're going to just wait. New York City, meanwhile, crafting the next year's budget. Mayor Bill de Blasio says these are unusual circumstances, and the city has gotten no help from the federal government.
We have been the epicenter of this pandemic, and yet the federal government cannot manage to get New York City the help it needs, nor so many other cities and states. So the federal government side has been, in so many ways, missing in action.
And he says police reform is going to be a big part of that budget.
I'm excited to say that we have a plan that can achieve real reform, that can achieve real redistribution, and at the same time ensure that we keep our city safe.
De Blasio's plan would shift about $1 billion from the police department to other social programs. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy. Thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street, and John Stashower is here with the Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, Nathan. When the NBA season resumes, the Nets will be in a battle with Orlando and Washington. Three teams vying for two playoff spots, but the Nets will hardly be at full strength. No Kevin Durant, no Kyrie Irving, and now DeAndre Jordan has the virus, says he won't play, and Spencer Dinwiddie, who has played every game, has flourished into a top player, also has it. Dinwiddie tells The Athletic he's had a fever and chest pains. He'll be quarantined for 2 weeks, unsure if he'll be able to play after that. Baseball workouts resume tomorrow. The Mets have just added three veterans, outfielder Melky Cabrera, infielder Jordan Beckham, and reliever Hunter Strickland. Mets GM Brody Van Wagenen says with protocols at the stadium in place, he's more worried about when players leave.
We want people to respect themselves, and we want to respect people's free choices to move. We're not going to create penalties or fines for players when they leave the ballpark, but we trust them. They trust us, and we trust each other, and that's how we feel like we're going to get through this in the best way possible.
Van Wagenen says he's only aware of one of his players out of 60 in camp who's had a positive test, says he does not expect any players to opt out. Four did so yesterday, including Washington's veteran slugger Ryan Zimmerman. The NHL has conducted about 250 tests of players, and 15 came back positive, and 11 others have had a positive test conducted on their own. Still, NHL training camps will officially open sometime between July 10th and 13th. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
Good morning, Nathan. This year's MTV Video Music Awards ceremony will be held in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center in person on August 30th. Governor Cuomo says, though, there will be a limited or no audience with capacity limits in effect. MTV says social distancing precautions will take place. The Barclays Center's been shut down since March. Malls in New Jersey's Monmouth and Ocean counties are open again after closing back in mid-March. The Asbury Park Press says shoppers have been asked to wear masks and there is hand sanitizer available, as well as markings on floors to show where to stand. Not all stores are open yet, only about half at the Freehold Raceway Mall. The Monmouth Mall had about 80% of its stores open. And Connecticut's 10-cent single-use plastic bag tax returns tomorrow. Governor Lamont had suspended it back on March 26th because of the pandemic. That suspension ends with the month of June. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Joan Doniger. Nathan?
Okay, Joan, thanks. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting Florida businesses are cracking down on face mask requirements in the absence of a state law on the issue.
I'm Courtney Dunahoe on KFAB in Omaha. The IRS won't further delay the tax filing deadline past July 15th.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the UK's first local lockdown as virus cases surge in Leicester.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for KCBS in San Francisco, I'm talking about Uber, said to be in talks to buy the food delivery app Postmates.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Regal Cinemas delaying the reopening of its movie theaters until the end of July.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Also, the coronavirus outbreak continues to hit big oil hard. Royal Dutch Shell says it will write down between $15 and $22 billion in the second quarter. Oil production slowed, fuel sales fell, and shipments of everything from liquefied natural gas to petrochemicals suffered in the period. And the high-end art market is getting a boost after a slump from the pandemic. A triptych by Francis Bacon went for almost $85 million at Sotheby's online sale. The seller was a private museum in Norway. The buyer wasn't disclosed. It's almost 5:40 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is online now with the cover on the King and the CEO, how LeBron James and business partner Maverick Carter are expanding their media empire at perhaps just the right moment. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio. Watch it on YouTube. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit YouTube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. S&P futures are down 9 points. Dow futures lower by 109. NASDAQ futures a drop of 5 points. 10-year Treasury yield 0.62%, almost 0.63%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street. Just ahead, will the advertising boycott lead Facebook to move fast and change things? Bloomberg opinion columnist Alex Webb joins us next. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by SEI. Challenges highlight one's character, partnership, and resilience. At SEI, they act as one community with their clients. Go to SEIC.com/banks. U.S. stock index futures and European shares are lower after a resurgence in virus infections slowed down the pace of business reopenings. The dollar index climbing to a one-month high. Treasuries, they're steady. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 9 points. Dow futures down 102. NASDAQ futures down 3.5. The DAX in Germany, it's turned higher up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.63%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% or 61 cents at $39.09 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.60 at $17.82.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.1205 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.2264. And the yen is at 107.78. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, local governments across the country issuing fresh restrictions as coronavirus infections climb. Bloomberg's John Tucker joining us live now with the very latest. John.
And Amy, the number of intensive care patients in Florida's Miami-Dade County is at its highest level in 2 months. Houston area intensive care unit wards are 95% full. Los Angeles County counted its highest daily totals of new cases and hospitalizations. Arizona is rolling back reopening plans, closing bars, gyms, and movie theaters for 30 days. And Governor Phil Murphy is pausing New Jersey's plans to restart indoor dining this week. New York also considering postponement. The World Health Organization first became aware of the novel coronavirus 6 months ago, and now with more than 500,000 dead, it says the worst is yet to come. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. And as Congress is briefed on allegations that Russia offered bounties to the Taliban to kill U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan, President Trump's Director of National Intelligence is vowing to investigate, but John Ratcliffe, Radcliffe also rebuked the person or persons behind those allegations. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. A growing list of companies is pausing advertising on Facebook. Critics accuse the social network of inadequately policing hateful content on its platform. We spoke with Facebook's Vice President for Global Affairs and Communications, Nick Clegg, about the issue. He says the platform can't eliminate all hate speech, but it is aiming to control it better.
We have no incentive to have hate on our platform. Crucially, our users don't like it. They don't like to see hateful, inflammatory content on their newsfeed. And of course, advertisers, they've made quite clear, don't like it either. It's not a question of whether one is for or against hate. Everybody is against hate. It is, what do you do about it?
So that is the question, right? What should Facebook do about it? Let's check in now with Bloomberg Opinion on the matter. Bloomberg Opinion columnist Alex Webb is writing about this issue this morning. It seems as though Facebook has been through so many crises like this, Alex, and has been relatively hesitant to make big changes, particularly when it comes to the content on its site. Could this advertising boycott be something different?
I mean, goodness me, I hope so. We've seen so many iterations where Facebook just hunkers down and waits for the storm to pass time and again over the past decade. Ultimately, you know, Nick Clegg can say anything. It's Mark Zuckerberg who makes the decision. You know, he's the CEO of the company, as the chairman of the company, has all control of all the voting shares. You know, anybody, you could have every single person at Facebook wanting to change it, and if Mark Zuckerberg doesn't, then nothing will happen. And you hope that, if anything, the only other group who can force change, despite all this pressure from advertisers, are regulators. So you hope that perhaps Zuckerberg says, well, you know, if regulators are going to come for us at some stage, maybe it's better that we get ahead of this ourselves and try to fix it under our own conditions at the risk of facing something more punitive further down the line if we don't.
But what are the chances that something like that happens? Because in the past, Mark Zuckerberg has said it doesn't want to be the arbiter. He said that he welcomes regulation. Is there a possibility that we could see more regulation from Washington on this?
Well, I mean, probably not, and that's why Mark Zuckerberg likes regulation, because regulation is something that takes a long time to discuss, a long time to formulate, essentially an effective way of kicking the can down the road, not doing anything very much at all. You've seen in Europe, we had the General Data Protection Regulation, which is a way of, you know, ensuring in theory that people's data isn't traded sort of willy-nilly around the internet and that they have more control over it. In all honesty, it's not worked terribly well, partly because it was formulated as a bit of a hodgepodge over a number of years. And, you know, the place that controls it, Ireland, hasn't done very much about it. Now, the risk for Facebook is not in regulation, it's in antitrust. And increasingly, particularly in Europe, authorities are starting to recognize that antitrust is a far more powerful tool for keeping the worst excesses of Silicon Valley in check than regulation is. And antitrust is a bigger threat to Facebook because, by definition, it tackles their business model and tries to change the way they do business. Regulation can be about data or it can be about content, but it doesn't necessarily challenge the way they do business. And so and that's why Zuckerberg prefers regulation and would prefer for them to outsource.
Now, when it comes to this advertiser boycott, how much money are we talking about in terms of the financial hit that Facebook could take from this? Because as I understand it, it's only about a month that most advertisers are going to be pausing their ads on Facebook, right?
And not only that, it's just a month, but it's also a relatively fallow month, particularly given there's no big sporting event this year in terms of the Olympics or the World Cup or the European.
Oh, it sounds like we're having a little bit of trouble with Alex Webb's line here. Want to let you know that Alex and Ty Kim of Bloomberg Opinion have a great column on this. Urge you to read more about it. It's called Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook's Time to Bend. And you can also get much more from Bloomberg Opinion. Just go over to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal. And thanks again to Alex for being with us this morning. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. It is time now for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
10 people are facing charges in what federal prosecutors say was a $1.4 billion fraud scheme that used rural hospitals to overcharge private health insurance companies for medical testing. The House Rules Committee approved several energy and environment amendments to the $1.5 trillion infrastructure package, and a tax relief package in New Mexico will waive interest and penalties for businesses and individuals who are late with their tax payments because of the pandemic.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story. We're watching the Supreme Court striking down a Louisiana law that would have left the state with only one abortion clinic. Chief Justice John Roberts provided the crucial vote, joining the court's liberal justices in a 5-4 decision. For more on the opinion, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Stephen Vladeck, a professor at the University of Texas Law School.
The Chief Justice has never voted before on the side of abortion rights. Was this decision all about the Chief Justice's vote?
I think it was. I mean, I think he signaled that he was probably leaning in this direction last year when he joined the four more progressive justices to stay the Fifth Circuit decision to leave the Louisiana law on hold. And, you know, I think much like his concurrent opinion last year in Moore versus Texas, you know, this is a case where the chief doesn't necessarily agree with the majority on the merits, but thinks that the lower courts were wrong to basically ignore or not faithfully apply the court's own earlier precedent. So this is very much, I think, an institutionalist decision for the chief and an institutionalist opinion.
Explain how it's an institutionalist opinion.
Well, I mean, I think the chief goes out of his way not to say that much about the merit and about whether he actually agrees with the majority, rather that most of the opinion's about stare decisis and why he thinks the Supreme Court should follow the whole woman's health decision from 4 years ago. And I think that's very much the chief saying, you know, I am not a big fan of these abortion cases. I am generally sympathetic to state abortion restrictions. But here, where the state of Louisiana basically passed a law that was in no material way different from the one that we just struck down, I'm not going to ignore the similarities just because I'm sympathetic to the result. And I think that's an important marker, not just for this decision, but one that could be very important going forward, as he's increasingly clearly the median and most important vote on the court in these high-profile divisive cases.
And that's University of Texas law professor Stephen Vladeck speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning are lower, with S&P futures down about 8 points, Dow futures down 92, and NASDAQ futures little change. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.63%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5%, down 58 cents at $39.12 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up $1.10 at $17.82.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1205 against the dollar, and the British pound, 1.2266. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.